You can turn to James chapter 2. This time of year, I cannot help but think about our coming here to Lighthouse Baptist Church. I believe it would be technically next Sunday. I think it was about the middle of the month when we actually came up to officially candidate for the position here as pastor. And then the last Sunday of the month, which in this case is, I think, the 29th, is when y'all voted. Now, you may not want to remember that day. you may be regretting that as we speak. But, you know, this time of year, I can't help but think of those things and how God put all that together. Because at the time, I did not know how that was going to all come about. But it has. And God has, of course, been faithful to provide where he calls. Amen. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, we're just going to read the first 14 verses here of chapter 2. And get through, we got through pretty much the first 8 verses of this, but we're going to just kind of wrap some things up on this particular topic before we get into another topic next Wednesday evening. And looking forward to that. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently these first 14 verses of James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? Now we talked about these things about the church, what they were going through, and why James was writing these things as a pastor to the sheep, if you will, the flock. The church there, as they were being scattered abroad and many times persecuted, etc. But he wanted them to be successful, just as we want to be and should want to be successful today. I hope that you don't just live unto yourself out there in this world. You understand there's a greater cause, right? And so we've got to go about things in a proper fashion. It is human nature to have respect of persons. Okay? So we need to fight against that natural thought. Okay? And that natural way of going about things. If we see somebody that doesn't look like us, right? Or act like us, they are weird. Okay? They're different. Yes, that different was very kind, whoever said that over here. Okay, there's a lot of kindness over here. Okay, there's a lot of unkindness right here. Okay, now just weird. You know, kids are funny. They're just brutally honest, right? My kids are amongst those, especially the little ones. And now as they grow a little older, they have a little bit more tact about things. But sometimes we'll be at the store and my little ones go, "That boy has long hair." Oh, okay. Thank God I'm teaching them right. Amen. or that girl has short hair, you know, vice versa. or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or sometimes, that man is fat. And you're like, you know, but kids are just brutally honest, right? Okay, but we need to pay attention. We're not children. We need to have some discretion about us. And so what James is trying to say here, look, don't fall into this trap of the natural man as you go about as the church of Christ in this time. What were they supposed to be doing? Preaching everywhere, right? Winning people to Christ. And relatively speaking, back then, this was a new thing. I mean, think about it, right? When did the church begin? With Jesus calling out the 12, right? And that's when the church began. And you know, Christ had just been crucified, you know, not too long before this was written. And all of these things, this is relatively new. So as they're going about it, they're what are they trying to show? Something different. And you know what? We need to show the world something different. And that's how we need to behave ourselves. When people come to this local church, we ought to welcome them to Christ. That's what we're doing. Now, does that mean I'm going to compromise on the things that I think are right and the things that I think are wrong? No. But I am going to welcome them to Christ. You see, if I welcome someone to Christ and I say, you're welcome here, right? And we want to give you the gospel. Does that mean that I'm laying down all the things that I think are right and wrong? No, doesn't mean that at all. So I'm welcoming them to come and to hear about Jesus Christ and to trust Christ as their Savior and become like God wants us to become. Now, let's say someone comes and all they want to do is start fights and cause problems and stuff. Then guess what? They're not welcome here. Not because they necessarily won't follow rules, but because they don't want what we have. I'm not going to change who we are or what the Bible says we're supposed to be to make somebody feel good. I'm not. But can I be forgiving and loving and not a respecter of persons? Yes, I can. So we need to make sure we are taking care of these things, and we need to make sure that we are following what the Bible tells us to follow. In Romans chapter 13, the Bible tells us, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, you say, that was in Romans, Paul said that. Yes, it is. But now in James, we hear James, did you notice that in these verses that I read in Romans, James is basically saying the same thing here in James chapter 2, is he not? Were some of the same elements mentioned? They were. Listen to this. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if we have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery. Okay, there's a lot of similarities here to the things that he's mentioning. All right? So Paul goes on in Romans and says this. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, so you see, what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13 is the spirit and the heart that James has as he's mentioning these things to the Christians and to the church scattered abroad. This is exactly what we need to be today. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, not making provision for the flesh. And that's what being a respecter of persons is. It's providing for the flesh. Because our flesh naturally wants to do that. He says, don't do it. We need to make sure that we are fulfilling what Jesus Christ gave us an example to do. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Do you understand that he's talking about not making a judgment, but he's talking about how we deal with other people and how we deal with ourselves? See, we're not supposed to be Pharisaical. That's what the actual meaning of that particular passage is. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't be living in sin and you're trying to point out the sin in somebody else's life. That's what it's talking about. No, but, and so what? What are we supposed to be? We're supposed to say, hey, you know what? This is wrong. That's wrong. But we need to work that out, and we need to make sure we're not being a respecter of persons and mistreating people. That's what we need to be careful with. Look at, then think about this as Christ continues in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, he sums it up and says this: therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Okay, remember, Paul just mentioned this, right, in Romans 8, or 13, we just read that. But Jesus mentioned it, and that's what's called the royal law. How many of you have heard that in verse 8 here of our text? If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt not love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. What do we call that today? The golden rule, right? And that has to do with this thing of partiality, this thing of respecter of persons. What's the best way to treat somebody? How you'd want to be treated. So we need to care for this. He says if we do this, we are doing well. How many of you want to do well? I do. Thank you, Andrew. Amen. Yes. Who wants to hear, thou wicked and slothful servant, cast him into outer darkness? Nobody. Who wants to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord? Yeah, amen. So, we need to pay attention to Scripture when he says something is done well. He says if we do this, if we treat people correctly, and we do not have respect to persons, we do well. He goes on and gives a warning in verse 9. He says, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So he says, if we have respect unto persons, then we are transgressing the law. You say, but I'm a good church member. And these things that these things are, you know, they don't belong in the church, or this and that. Oh, okay, look, again, that's not for us to judge. We need to make sure that if someone comes in nice clothing, that we treat them well. And if someone comes in with raggedy clothing and they smell funny, then we need to treat them well too. You know, just make sure that you got a bottle of Febreze around, you know, and you'll be okay. Now, let's further look at, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read a lot of this. But it's Luke's account of what Jesus said in Matthew about this thing of this royal law that we need to pay attention to. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 42, this is what the Bible says. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So you understand here, as Jesus is going on, I've mentioned this before, but there's a verse in here we often use for stewardship, right? Give and it shall be given unto you. Okay, it's not the context of stewardship as far as finances go. What is it about? It's about what we dish out to people as far as judgment or behavior, and we shall receive that back again to ourselves. That's basically what it's talking about. What is it? It's that royal law, that golden rule that we need to fulfill. He says if we do so, we do well. Look at verse 10, back in our text. He said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You understand that he's trying to protect the church and let them know that, hey, you can be a good church, but if you violate these things, you are now a violator. You're a transgressor. How are we supposed to behave ourselves as God's people? Holy, righteous, right? Upright, and if you will, perfect. That's what we're supposed to be. And if we don't do those things, guess what we are? We're a transgressor. We've let our guard down in some of these areas. He's giving us a warning. He's giving the church at that time a warning.
He said, hey, we need to be the right kind of church, and we don't need to fall into this trap. That's natural. It's a natural trap. Remember in Matthew 22, Jesus was being tempted by the Pharisees, right? They were testing him. And I want you to think about what Jesus said. I'm just trying to help us understand the mindset that we're supposed to have concerning this thing of being respecters to persons. James thought it important. Paul thought it important. Luke thought it important to record. Matthew thought it important to record of Jesus' ministry. And other places in the scriptures, the Apostle Paul speaks much of it as well. But they spend a lot of time on this behavior. Why? Because it's natural to revert to being a respecter of persons. And we need to avoid such. So anyways, Jesus said this. This is the account of this trickery here. Then they said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Now remember, the Pharisees are asking this question, right? These people that are respecters of persons. Okay? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, that's a simple answer, correct? And is that the right answer? Yes. We're going to look at the rest that Jesus said, but I want you to put yourself in this perspective. If we have that correct, then how are we going to treat other people? Well, why? Because Christ treats us well. Remember in Ephesians 4:32, right? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, right? Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Okay, so that's the precedent. What's the precedent? Our relationship with Him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, right? That's with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus said this is the first and great commandment. And He doesn't stop there. He says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, please understand, we just went through the Ten Commandments, right? Is the first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. It is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? That makes sense. Is the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? So, the literal answer is no. That's not commandment number two. But remember what we studied. What did we study? That the first four commandments were related to our relationship with God, and the last six were related to our relationship with... Okay, so what is Jesus doing? He's giving the condensed version. All right? He says, get your life with Christ or with God in order first, and then get your life with man in order next. That's what he's doing. That's what he's saying. So we need to make sure that we are taking care of these things and not being respecters of persons. He says this, Jesus did, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, why do I bring all of that up tonight? Because that's what's going on here when James is explaining that if we transgress and offend in one point, we're guilty of all. He's telling the church, don't be a respecter of persons. You're committing sin and you are convinced of the law as a transgressor. And you are not going about these things in the proper fashion. He says, so look at verse 12. He says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Where did we hear that before? The law of liberty. Does that ring a bell? Get it? Liberty bell. Man, that was a good one. How many did you get that one? Did you get that one? Brother Frankie got it. Thank you, Brother Frankie. The law of liberty. No, back over in chapter 1, right? Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Oh, listen. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, there's a correlation here. So he says, if we're not a respecter of persons, we do well, right? And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, this man is blessed in his deed. So we see how James is putting these things together. He says in verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that he has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So as we think about this and kind of wrap this up tonight, I want to read some verses that just help us to get in a mindset of impartiality. Okay? Now, I want to be very clear. We're not talking about compromise. We're talking about how we view people. You understand that whether people are right or wrong is not our judgment. That's God's judgment. Okay? I'm not their judge, jury, and executioner. And yes, I need to discern, hey, do I need to be associating with this person? You know, there are rules about that. And I'm not saying we're supposed to lay down any of those. All I'm trying to say is we need to make sure we're dealing with people the proper way. How Christ would want us to deal with them. So let me read a few scriptures here to help us with these things. Galatians chapter 6, it says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, let it go. Who's got their Bible? That's not what it says. Okay, do you see what I'm trying to point out? We're not supposed to overlook these things. That's not at all what I'm saying tonight. This is how we're supposed to deal with it. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. Oh, here it is again. And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, again, we talk about that a lot of times in financial terms and in stewardship. And certainly there's an application for that. But where is the actual interpretation in this matter of behavior toward other people? Just like give and it shall be given unto you. You understand, it's in the same context. So we have this written to us here. He says, I lost my spot here. That shall we also reap. For the he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So, in other words, if we go through and we have respect to persons, we're committing sin and counted as a transgressor. That's in the flesh, isn't it? And at the very beginning, in verse 1, he said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. So we're supposed to make a delineation there. We're either supposed to walk in the Spirit or we're going to walk in the flesh. That's how it's going to be. And so we have this also said to us again here in Galatians chapter 6. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Again, a lot of times we use that verse to talk about other things. But what's it talking about here? Our relationship with other people. And he says, there, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So does this thing of respect of persons include those who are without, lost people, etc.? Yes. And those who are within, the brethren? Yes, it does. Has to do with both. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." I thought it was interesting how Paul worded that, didn't you? How he says that in accomplishing this, we're increasing in love, not only toward one another, the brothers and sisters in Christ, but also toward all men, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. James said, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are transgressors, right? And if you fail in one point, you're guilty of all. And he says here that if we do this, that we may be established in our hearts and be unblameable in holiness before God. If we abound and increase in love one toward another and toward all men. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." I love that word, unfeigned. Okay, basically it means not fake. Okay, it's real. He says this, unfeigned love for the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. By the way, that word of God is akin to that perfect law of liberty, which liveth and abideth forever. You understand that this is how we're supposed to live. 1 John chapter 4. You know this passage of scripture, I'm sure. "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus Christ, or Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." So I hope you understand that just in these few short verses, and I have just a few more things to say about this next time, but he gives the illustration of the rich man and the poor man. He says, you're not seeing this from God's perspective. He says, the rich people, all they do is persecute you. And they're the ones that are against you. And the poor people, God has chosen rich in faith. You remember that illustration he gave here in the scripture. Now that's a general term. You understand that not all rich people are bad and not all poor people are good, if you will. But he's talking about This pre-programmed mindset that we have is to be respecters of persons. And we have to overcome that and not be like that. Just as it is, our natural tendency is not to love one another. So what do we have to do? Work on loving one another. Now, I'll be careful to reiterate. You don't have to like everybody. Okay? But you do have to love everybody. And I'll just say this. I don't like what the lost world is doing. But you know what I have a love for? I have a love for the lost world. And not to the point where it says love not the world. Not that kind of love. I want them to be saved. And I can love someone and try to give them the gospel and try to show them the kindness and the mercy and the grace of Christ in my life. Not liking what they do. Do you know that's possible? Now, what is that? That's hard to do. It's very difficult to do. But it's something that we must do. If we're going to see some difference in this world, we've got to be different. We can't fall into this trap that James is outlining to the church.